Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ABL Pod Damn It, where pigs fly and Troy is booty. Gentlemen, it's me, and by ladies, I mean Troy. It's the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of buttering, sensation of innovation, and the leader of the Replayability Nation. And I am here with a guy who cast his stone into a pool of a wishing well and finished one game back of the final playoff spot. A man who has the second most wins in franchise history, and a man whose name is Gary Altman. Gary, what's going on, buddy?
Heidi Ho, sports fans.
Yes. Is that from Tool Time?
Yes, it is. Very good. I am surprised you got that 1990s reference.
Hey, man, that TGIF, man, that was my fucking era, bro. I used to watch that in Boy Meets World all day long, and Step by Step, because I thought Suzanne Summers was pretty hot.
She looked hot in the 70s on Three's Company, but that's a whole other issue. But anyway, you know, before we get started on this, I got to say some things, and I got to run off on a tangent.
Ooh, you know, let's do it.
Don't sit there and start munching on some popcorn, okay?
Gotcha, okay.
Because we're about to light up your world, and not in a good way.
Oh, you know, son of a bitch.
There's been a couple things. There's been a couple
this
things. Just
need,
sit down, put the reins on. Put
all
the
right.
reins on.
All
Listen,
right.
you got two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately. Let's go. So, I got a couple things that I wanted to do on my bucket list, and one of them was go to Wrigley Field, and then another one was to go see Billy Joel. So Billy Joel just went to San Diego for you guys out on the West Coast, and I'm surprised you didn't know who that was. So the rave reviews coming in for the concert there. I end up looking in Philadelphia for tickets at the Phillies ballpark, whatever they named it now.
You're
they wanted $1,200 for third row center. I was like, fuck that. There is no way I'm doing that. So I'm like, all right, let me check Fenway. He's playing there. Sold out. Ah, fuck. All right, let me check Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field. Seats are available. On the field, behind shortstop, he's playing in center field towards home plate. I am right behind center shortstop on the field. Got him for $129 a ticket. It's in Chicago, August 26th. So I'm already putting in a request that we have no Sims that weekend. Anyway, I'm really stoked about it. Can cross off two items and maybe even go across the way to the south side and see the White Sox play the Mariners. I go and tell Mikey this.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mikey's like, who's Billy Joel?
Yes, yes,
who's
asshole.
Billy
go ahead.
Joel? My God, son, what the hell? Billy Joel,
yeah.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, been around for 30 years, sells out Madison Square Garden every month. He's got like 33, 34 consecutive sellouts at Madison Square Garden. How do you not know who Billy Joel is? Please enlighten us.
In my defense, you initially texted me. I was like, motherfucking Wrigley Field. Like, I was excited. And then you kept on with the conversation. I was like, wait, what? What are you going to do? And then you're like, what is he, Billy Joel? I was like, who the fuck is Billy Joel? And then I didn't know this was going to happen, but I figured this conversation was going to happen on the podcast because, A, you're a great asshole, and, B, I probably deserved it. I literally did not know who he is. I Googled him yesterday.
Of course you Googled him.
Not my fault. Not my genre.
You probably Googled that comment I put out before. Missed it by that much. You probably Googled that too.
It's all good, man. It's all love. I figured it was fucking coming, though, after you were giving me shit yesterday. I look at my phone. It's blown up. I was like, oh, okay, then this is probably going to be talked about on the podcast. because
come on, Wrigley Field, the home of Team JoJo. How do you not know who Wrigley Field or Billy Joel? Sorry. How do you not know Billy Joel? Are you shocked? It's absolutely mind-blowing.
I would like to bring up that Chicago finished four games back of beating my worst record in league history for games behind the division. He finished 60 games back. As we all know, in 2012, I finished 64 games back. So Chicago.
Very nice segue. Out of the Billy Joel at Wrigley Field in Chicago to Chicago in the ABL. Gotta give you props on that one.
You know, I was happy to be looking at it right now, and I was thinking, how can I dig myself out of this hole, which I cannot clearly, but I figured, how can we shift direction? And I said,
blame.
Hey, let's get it. Yeah, how can we shift? Whatever, asshole. I don't know who Billy Joel was. I've never heard one of his songs. I'm probably, you know, I take that back. I probably heard his song, but I couldn't tell you what it was. Either way, let's get in.
Oh, my God, he just keeps digging. Keeps digging.
This is the problem. Like, my wife always tells me, I love you, but you don't know when to shut the fuck up sometimes. And that has never been more clear than.
I don't think anybody in the league thinks that you don't know how to shut your mouth.
I don't. I know it's a shock to many of you out there, but it is something I deal with on a daily basis. It is a real thing. Where's Troy? Let's get Troy on the fucking podcast so I can shit on him so I would feel less bad about myself.
Why'd he call in?
Either way, he's going to be calling in, yes. Either way, Gary, we have the ABL to talk about here.
Let's get back to business.
I'm sure
you're more than just a piano man.
I wish I could confirm that as being correct, but I cannot. And I am absolutely confused right now. Gary, we have KC and Eureka going today. As you noted, for some reason on the schedule, it doesn't show a division winner for Maple and San Francisco. We think just by the historical nature of how the league's been ran, they will be a play-in game. But on the schedule, there's nothing at all ever showing at all for today, tomorrow, or going forward. So I don't know what's going to happen in that division or who's going to if there's going to be a play-in game. You think there's going to be a play-in game.
There's going to be a game 163 for them because if you look at the standings, they're both listed as Z's. So
I wouldn't be shocked
there's
if someone
nobody,
said,
there's nobody designated as a division winner as of yet. So that being said, there is
Maple
going to be a game 163.
Maple did go 7-5 against San Francisco, so I'm wondering if Maple just didn't get it. Are you sure?
Maple went
8-4
against. You know what? I looked at the other one. I looked at. I got ahead of myself. I was looking at the Kansas City Eureka game.
Yes. So there's that. Anyway.
Honestly, you are correct right there.
Yeah, go ahead. What happened?
No, I said, honestly, you are correct on that.
Yes, it does happen on occasion. Either way, I'm thinking maybe he doesn't. They don't have another one, but I really don't know. We'll see. In Major League Baseball,
you know what?
An extra one
you
no?
may be right. You may be right.
We really have no idea, though. We haven't had this happen before. So. We really have no idea. And for some reason, I don't know. I'm sorry if I seem blustered. For some reason, it looks like the podcast is only scheduled for 30 minutes today, not 45, and I'm not sure why. Everything looks the same on my end. So this may be an abbreviated version, unfortunately, everybody. And if that's the case, I do apologize.
Well, we'll find out. We'll get through the important stuff, and we'll go from there. And you know, and if we got extra time, then we can play with that.
I blame Billy Joel. That's all I'm saying. Definitely Billy Joel's problem if anything happens today. He's got me flustered.
Definitely Billy Joel's problem. You know what? You may be right.
Yes. Yeah, well, hey, like I said, two for two right now. I mean, come on. Anyway.
That's right.
So the game's going to be in Eureka. And they're going to be throwing Pabada Nimbalkar, who's 5-2 on the year in 15 games with a 6 ERA, 16 hits, 14 home runs, 30 base on balls, and 70 Ks. He is a Pi Mai Scout, 1.5, a 2-star player. And we have Eureka's Ramon Vasquez, who we traded for, who's 2-5 with a 5.51 ERA, allowing 8 home runs and only 13 walks, coupled with 60 strikeouts since he's arrived in KC. Obviously, he'll be better on the road. This is game 163. The two tight ends, the two legends of the TML, going one-on-one, mano a mano, to see exactly who gets to go to the playoffs this season, who gets to go home. Gary?
You know what? Out of these two teams, it's really going to be only the good die young. One of these teams is just not going to make it. And one of them is going to have their river of dreams blown up out of Eureka and Kansas City. It's
Vasquez has been confirmed via the email thread that he is going. Irvin just confirmed that Vasquez is going. Troy says he's going to be on in a bit, but he probably didn't hear that the show is going to be short today, so he might not get on. Yeah, I mean, who do you got, Gary? I mean, the lineup for KC is obviously better than it is for Eureka. Eureka has like 7 injuries still, probably. I mean, I'm going to go Kansas City. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm going Eureka just because, you know, in Luke I trust. But I think I'll find a way to get it done. But Kansas City definitely definitely in better shape here. He's got his entire lineup. Even though, I mean, he didn't have pitching. He hasn't had pitching all year. But he has all his entire lineup's healthy. You know what I mean? And Luke is in shambles with his lineup. Ronnie Johnson, Whitney's out. Only one day with day to day. Actually, he's coming back a little bit. You know, it should be a good game. You know, the fourth most runs scored in Eureka versus the number one, I believe, in Kansas City. You know, 7th and 9th in pitching and 14th and 3. And it's just – the game should be fun. They're clearly the two best pitchers – I mean, the two best teams in the history of the TML in terms of, you know, winning championships. So, I mean, it should be a fun,
you know,
cool game.
They've been on top of the Heat for the longest time. And I see – in this particular matchup, I see Kansas City prevailing.
I think Kansas City has the highest ceiling in the playoffs. If he gets in, I think he has a chance to go further than Eureka does, if that makes sense.
Well, I think Eureka's got the better pitching, but they're sitting out. Vara just went. Abe, I almost said Abe. What the hell is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Abe is still on his suspension, so he can't go. That leaves Chu, Nimbalkar, and Sheffield. Sheffield just went. He went in the series against me.
Right.
That leaves Chu and Nimbalkar. Those are the two guys. Chu has – he has not pitched in an ABL game, and I can't see him getting the ball in game 163.
No, he's going to have to go Nimbalkar. I mean, he doesn't really have
Nimbalkar.
Choice here.
That's it. Nimbalkar he was up last year in 2026 with an 8.80 ERA,
right.
0-2, 3 games and start. So he wasn't successful last year. Spent some time in AAA this year. I believe he had an injury based on the number of games because he's only got 21 games started. He went 0-4 in AAA with a 3.16 ERA, pitched very well. Came up, went 5-2, which looks good except for the ERA of 6.04. And against, you know, the offense of Kansas City, I can't see Nimbalkar being a big shot in this game at all. And
no, he's gonna get crushed.
I see Eureka moving out.
I mean, I do like his lineup. He has more switch hitters than Troy. I mean, he switch hits more than Troy does. Troy, what's going on, by the way, buddy?
Oh, just hanging out, trying to figure out how somebody doesn't know who Billy Joel is, you know, just normal
My
stuff.
My God, is that the craziest thing? My God.
Well, I was going to say I had to hang up after hearing that, but that's not true. I actually just lost a whole ton of money on a deal at work. So I was otherwise depressed about things going on. But
even though he doesn't know who Billy Joel is, we still love Mikey just the way you are.
Well, you know, hold on, you know what?
The
how
best part is he doesn't get the reference because that's a song title by Billy Joel.
Guys, he was born in 1949.
Listeners, you better pay attention to what I'm saying because at the end there will be a trivia contest.
You're just so lucky, Mikey, that I'm not as witty as he is.
The bag right now. We're letting the cat out of the bag. There will be a trivia contest. And I got a clear idea on what we're going to allow to be given away.
You know, Goldie's good about
show,
this. Maybe
on the show, Mikey, Mikey, on this show, we don't give away prospects or any of that nonsense, but we do give away name changes and nicknames. So if you want those type of things, pay attention and catch up on some of this stuff. But
maybe if we
have a bunch in here already.
Maybe if Troy's lucky, Goldie a little let the winner add a couple seats. You know what I mean? So
that's a whole other story.
Maybe that'll be on the table. You know what? That could be one of your River of Dreams.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah, what were you guys talking about? Somebody starting a starter that had never played in the big league on game 163? Because trust me, I've already been down that road, and we don't want to start that fire.
No.
Here's the thing.
Oh, very good. And you know what? Because when you start, minor league pitchers making their debut in the ABL, what tends to happen is that only the good die young.
And they do die, let me tell you.
As we've discussed previously, your top prospect, I mean, come on. Throwing him against the number one offense, you're crazy, kid. You're crazy. Either or, Troy, I've sided with Eureka. He sided with KC. You know nothing about this game because you're at work and you're trying to make that money. Who do you think is going to win this game based on your just gut feeling?
So I would always have to go with the team that's hotter in this situation, but, I mean, it's
neither.
Fuck KC, so I got to go Eureka.
All right, well,
neither are hot.
Yeah, 5-5, 4-6, nobody wants the division.
Well, even before that, the last three games, to solidify, Eureka only had to win two games. They managed to win none, and that was against me. And then Kansas City was playing Jersey, who they should have taken two, if not three, to solidify a playoff spot. They managed to only win one against Jersey.
Here's the thing. Neither one of the teams have had a great year. Tim's had no pitching, like, whatsoever. I mean, neither one's wanted it. Irvin was 14-14 in September. Luke was 14-13. I mean, yeah, looking at their team, I mean, both of them started. I mean, fuck, Irvin was 19-9 in May, but then he went 11-18 in July. He's doing his best South Carolina impersonation this year. Win a couple, lose a couple. Same thing I'm looking right now with Luke. I mean, it's really kind of funny, Troy. We touched on it. I don't know if you've listened to the entire podcast. It's kind of fitting. A lot of people think the new guard's changing in terms of Georgia at Mile High reigning supreme over that division. I'm not quite there yet, but it is kind of fitting that the two tight ends, the two legends in the TML side, are going to be facing off to see who actually gets to go to continue on. And it's funny because I think Kansas City has the more upside, man. I mean, Georgia is a very good team, but Georgia's pitching isn't, like, going to be able to keep Kansas City's pitching in check, and his offense isn't great. Georgia has a decent offense, not a great offense. Same thing with Mile High, who's good all around, but isn't like – he's not like Jacksonville was last year, where he just super balanced both ways. Every team left in that division are flawed on one side of the ball. So, I mean, if Kansas City gets in, I could really see Kansas City making it to the LCS. And I'm being completely – pulling no punches here. I could really see him making it to the LCS and even out of it, unless he faces a team like Maple who can match his pitching and has as much offense as he has. I mean, is this Maple's year?
I'm going to disagree with that. I think Mile High is clearly the team to beat over there. They are the big shots in that division.
He doesn't score, man. I mean, he's played good ball this year defensively. He's pitched really well. But, I mean, aside from Callahan, he has Tahiti, Alberti, Sullivan that I know off the top of my head. Grant's in there as well. I mean, Wilson will probably go to the bullpen. He'll have to mix and match. He'll have to get his starters to five or six innings. But I'm looking at Mile High's team, and I mean, fuck, dude. Like, I've always been like this versus you're like, willing to give new teams more of a chance or whatever. Like, I'm going to show me what – been there before. I've seen you do it before. Your players have been through the rigorous thing before. So I just want to see Mile High do it. I mean, I'm not against Mile High doing it. I'm absolutely rooting for Ron. I think everyone's rooting for Ron. He's ran his franchise really well.
And you look at it as what they've done for you lately or what they've done in the past. You look at this as a matter of trust. I'm like, I just see that Mile High has put together a very good team.
Very, very good.
And I think that they're going to prevail in this division.
Like, I'm I'm the guy who won't do a trade if I find a guy who's not a good player. I mean, not that I won't do a trade, but a guy who looks heavily into playoff performance. Like, I think that means something. In my eyes, I don't have a lot of guys who've been to the playoffs before.
I don't know about that, because you're going to have guys that are going to get beat up in the playoffs that are otherwise could win you 15, 20 games. As far as like pitchers go, just because of the, in the playoffs, you're seeing the very, very best. And I understand in your situation where you're always, I mean, that's the end game for you. You're getting to the playoffs every year, but for, you know, look at my team until September, we were just in there, you know, we were hanging on. And then in September I got everybody together and I knew my 40 man was strong. I knew it was strong. I just have to, but sometimes you don't have enough in the 26. And so I think sometimes you're going to see guys that just get killed in the playoffs but are good getting there. But you need those guys that are going to get you there too. Now, you got to have, you know, two or three pitchers that can really perform in the playoffs, absolutely. But if that's the only thing you're trading on, or if that's one of the primary things, that's kind of a scary – to me, that's a scary way to go about it. I mean, obviously, I guess for you, because you know you're going to be there this year, next year, probably for the next 5 years, that makes sense. But I would have a hell of a time trading that way. You know, I would end up doing that trade, and then I'd be out in September headed to an Italian dinner somewhere.
I just think it matters.
Where,
like,
in an Italian restaurant?
That's what I meant, damn it. Oh, so close.
Yeah, it's almost like a scene from an Italian restaurant.
Right,
well, I don't know what you guys are fucking talking about, but I've never done the fuck anything hashtag, but now all my posts are going to be fuck Billy Joel, because fuck whatever, I don't care. The playoffs are shaping up. You know, we can touch on that too, guys, real quick. We had a couple of races determined, obviously, with Mile High getting the division. We had Jacksonville, I think, becoming one of the scariest teams in the playoffs now that they've actually gotten in based on how well-rounded they are. Havana clinches. Thank God for Havana. Was able to find a way to win that division. He's going to make Montreal
go
and Manhattan
Bob.
Beach. Yeah, absolutely go, Bob. He's going to make Montreal and Manhattan Beach go fisticuffs, and I think he, more than anyone else in the playoffs, needed that first round bye to see if he could advance to the World Series and win without Hardy. You know, it's the playoffs are shaping up nicely. We got Duke and Seattle, which we knew before this, and was more likely the outcome than any other division. I don't know, man. I'm excited for the playoffs. I'm excited to watch these games tonight, and I'm excited to see exactly what shakes out of everything, because I think that at the end of the day, this is what most people play for, is to get to the playoffs and see what happens generally. And I think it's finally my favorite time of the year, not just because I'm in the playoffs, but I just absolutely love the playoffs. I want to
jump back on one thing real quick, though. You talked about who you really see coming out of that other side. And I know it's kind of funny, but it's kind of true too. I think it's best for Mile High if he doesn't play Kansas City, because, you know, somehow that's going to all fall apart on him and Casey's going to win.
For sure.
And then we're never going to hear the end of it. But, you know, I did that little bit based on regular season records, and I didn't realize how good Georgia was against the teams that they'll play. And they're, I mean, it's not everything on how you do in the regular season, because you're not getting the top three starters all the way through, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for Georgia matches up really, really well with everybody that's left. Georgia's biggest problem came from teams they should have beat all season long. They actually handled the teams in that they're going to see pretty well, even
the
ones
only
that I didn't have them going against.
Yeah, no, you're right.
No,
the only
and,
team that
– you know what? Just to piggyback on that, he's got no injuries to speak of. He's got – his team is third in runs scored. They're sixth in runs against. They are probably the least talked about team in the entire playoffs on my side of the division. Thurman Munson League. And I hate to call him a dark horse, but nobody's really spoke about him. And
who,
you know,
Georgia?
Yeah,
I said Georgia was going to win the fucking division, guys. Give me a break here.
Well,
no,
I'm taking them. At this point, I'm taking.
That was 2 months out.
At this point,
I'm. What are you talking about? It was a week ago.
A lot changes in a week, damn it.
What are you? You're like a stranger here.
No. This isn't true. See, this is why I need to date the podcast dates in the game, because then you'll know that about mid-August is when I predicted them. But that's neither here nor there. What I want to mention real quick is that Troy touched on Georgia being good against everyone he's played. The only team that Georgia is below 500 against out of his division is Mile High, in which he's 5-10. Mile High, coincidentally, as Gary and I said on our last podcast and that Irvin recap, Mike said, you know, if they meet, Irvin will beat them. And Gary's like, yep, because that's just how it is. Mile High was only 3-9 against Kansas City this year.
Right. See, and that's kind of what I'm hitting on, is if that happens, then – and I'll take Georgia right now, but I think Georgia surprises everybody and comes out and wins that whole side. It's either going to – it's going to be Georgia against the winner of SoCal Duke City.
I'm going to say
– I'm not going that far.
I'm going to – if we're going to go
I could see Georgia getting out. I could see Georgia getting out. I think I'm already on the record as saying that SoCal's not getting to the World Series. I just haven't factored in and figured it out yet where his train gets derailed. But,
well, let's go with Duke City. That sounds like a great place to get derailed. I like the sound of that. Let's go with that.
I got to take a look. I haven't delved into it yet.
Hey, buddy, fucking take care of Seattle first.
Well, right.
And so
but I gotta be confident enough that I can get out of that round.
Oh, you're fine with Seattle. They're throwing all right-handers. You're gonna win that series in five. Not trying to reverse jinx you. Just I was looking last night.
Sure
favorite matchup. Whoa. No. I'll tell you if I'm trying to jinx you here. I'm not jinxing you with Seattle. Their team actually does not match up well versus you at all. SoCal, however, matches up decently well. But I'm looking right now, and I'm gonna go on the record and say if Kansas City gets past Eureka, he's winning. He's getting out of the Sparky Anderson. I just don't see any other way. You guys, he has so much fucking hitting, it's ridiculous. Like, had he had a decent rotation this year, had he not been 14th in starting pitchers ERA, he wins 100 games this year. Had he been 7th, he wins 100 games. But he didn't.
I just think pitching rules all. Wow, that's loud.
Yeah,
sorry. I think pitching rules all. I have always believed that in the playoffs, that pitching rules all, and that's why SoCal's been so amazingly strong. Not to take anything away from, like I've said before, a legendary lineup on top of that. But I don't know. And I'm not trying to take anything from KC, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, they're struggling, and you never want to be the coldest team going into the playoffs. It's historically not been good. I don't care if you're talking about in this game or in real life. You want to be the hottest team going in.
Yeah.
And that's how teams like the Mets make it to the World Series, because they're hot when they get there, and then they just rock their way through.
No, you're absolutely right.
I'll sort of agree with that, but not. The Mets had just going into real baseball, Mets had a great pitching staff. They were good 1-4, and they're playing short series. It's very easy for them to start rolling, and then they start picking up and feeding off of one another. However, in ABL or in OOTP, looking at past playoff teams and where they finish, it seems like the hotter they are in August and September, the further they go. And it might just be something in the game engine.
Well, if that's the case, then me and Troy are going to have an epic 7-game series, given how hot we both were in September. I think my main point with KC was, though, guys, was that I think KC has the type of lineup that, although he doesn't have the type of pitching, you know, he's had in past years, I think he still does have a lineup that's so fucking incredible. I mean, I really, truly, wholeheartedly believe that KC could come out. Like, he has that much pitching. You talk about legendary lineups. I mean, he has four guys that are historic 340 hitters batting 1-2-3-4, switch, left, right. I mean, and then a guy who is fifth with 34 home runs. I mean, his lineup's insane. And I'm a big believer.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm looking at Georgia and looking at Mile High.
But he doesn't play all the games at home. As a matter of fact, no matter which way he goes through the playoffs, Kansas City is on the road. They are – I mean, they're moving out.
I get it, but his pitching is going to be better. His hitting is going to be better in any single park than anybody he plays, and his pitching will be improved. So I don't know, guys. It's just a gut feeling. I think Irvin's – I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, get him off here, but I think Irvin's built a wonderful team. I really do. And I just don't – if KC gets in, he has the highest ceiling, in my opinion, between him and Luke. Maybe that's kind of a crap out because no shit. Because he does one thing super well, and Luke's just kind of more so balanced, not elite, but balanced-ish. I don't know, man. I had a dream last night, not going to lie, that I was back in Kansas, and Irvin was just throwing dollar bills at the women at Twin Peaks. This actually happened. So, you know, dreaming about Irvin, I don't know, man. I'm picking Eureka to win, but if not, I'm thinking Casey goes very, very, very far.
I don't know. I just got to say, with all honesty, I think Mile High is slipping up somewhere, and it's going to be goodbye Saigon, and on to the World Series goes Georgia. I don't know. I just it's a hunch. It's a feeling I have, and I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, I'm with you on Mile High. I love them, but I don't think they're good enough. Their lineup's not good.